Hello and welcome. This is episode 30. 30! We're at 30! It's in... I can't get over, can't wrap my head around that. I've done 30 episodes of this. This is wild. So anyway, welcome to number 30 of Seared Stories from the Stove podcast. My name is Paul Silva. Always has been, always will. As long as I am in charge. So, all right. One thing I want to talk about today is play. And I'm going to share a little story, you know, some what I normally do here, but I also want to share a little bit from a new asset, as we say back in, as we say behind the screen, a little guide that I've created called Ignite Your Inner Innovator. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about it, but I'm going to be reading a little bit from it. But if you want the actual guide, you're going to want it. I guarantee. It's free. Free? What did I mean, nothing. All it takes is a click or two, and the link is going to be in the show notes, okay? But first, I'm going to start with a little story to set the mood, set the vibe for number 30 here. So welcome again. Grab a snack. Grab a coffee, water, whatever it is. Maybe a little cannoli. Grab a little cannoli. It's good for you. All right. So I worked in one place. Now, I got hired there. And a week after I started, the chef quit. Now, it wasn't me. Had nothing to do with me. He was leaving already. Well-known chef. Great guy. And so there was this bridge period where no one really knew who the next chef was going to be. And understand, this was part of a family. It was a hospitality group that owned these restaurants. They're well known in the city. And so it was like corporate, essentially. And they were on the hunt for a new chef. So in the meantime, there was two sous chefs, one day, one night, and they were in charge. They were okay. A little over their head. And they did okay. They were able to just hold the ship together while corporate sought out the new person. And they found him. And of course, like, you know what happens when someone new is coming to the workplace? There's rumblings. There's fear, because fear of change. And the sous chef, I used to work nights. So the sous chef who worked nights, he tended to slide towards the negative end of seeing of things. Outlooks, and he was already, oh, I'm gonna quit, like it was all the rumblings, like this person's just gonna turn everything upside down, it's gonna be hell, etc., etc. You know what I'm talking about. And this guy comes in, and he is like still to this day one of my favorite chefs ever. And he was this big, like, tall German guy who looked like Tom Selleck and spoke like Arnold Schwarzenegger. it was so, oh my God, I loved him. I still do. And the one thing that I really, there was many reasons why I loved him, but one of the things was the sense of fun and play and exploration that he brought to the team, to the brigade. It was missing. It was lacking. Because, you know, Chefy's loved it, like the ego trips and the, you know, my way or the highway, blah, blah, like all that stuff. Or it's like, I say it, you do it, and blah, blah, blah. And he was so much about collaboration. He was about experimenting and trying things out and empowering the cooks to bring ideas to him and to try things out. Now, he had final say, of course. And he had numbers to hit and targets and all the chef things that we have to do. But, you know, one day I just remember, and the thing is, I was leaving too. I had moved up enough. And so I didn't have a whole ton of time with him, maybe a few months. But one of those sous chefs, the same sous chef I talked about, had come up with, you know, we had to come up with a special every night. And I had come up with a few ideas, and, you know, he would say, listen, this, and, you know, you may want to try this. So he was mentoring me and all that. And sometimes he'd let me actually run them. And I remember he was talking about how the sous chef had created a special and it didn't sell well, right? There's some decision, like, and he had confided in me, because I don't think he was a great fan of the sous chef either. he said, you know, I knew it wasn't going to sell, but I wanted him to see that. I wanted him to know that, experience it, but like on his own. And I was like, that is so cool, because other chefs would have said no, no, and not given us the experience of having something fall flat. And it was this exploration kind of attitude that really, it sparked so much in me in terms of how to not only learn stuff on a plate, but just in leadership in general. Just allow people, like, depending, you're not just going to let them run roughshod all over you and just cause panic and harm. But he was allowing us to step into a little playground, a little play space, and to experiment and to bring ourselves to it, while he just kind of like, almost like the father, just, okay, kids, make sure you don't hurt each other, like, don't poke each other's eye out. He was that figure. And it was so impressed upon me so much just how important the idea of play is. Because without that, it would have been just like another kind of like dictator type of thing, which happens in kitchens. Maybe not so much now, but back then, yes. And even, you know, he would talk about back when he worked in Michelin star restaurants, you know, back in Europe. And, you know, some of the specials that he came up with were so great. And he confessed, these are like 100 years old. He goes, I just changed them around a bit. Now, in a previous episode, I talked about is cooking art, is our chefs artists. You can check it out. I'll put the link here. This was about play, because he took the ingredients and he just flipped them around. And this was back in the day when everything was deconstructed and all that silliness, but it brought a freshness to it. Brought his way of doing things, and we can do that in so many ways, in our way, in our industry, at home, in our social gatherings. Play is so important, and play just isn't about like literally playing. It can, we think of kids with their big Tonka trucks and big wheel, whatever, all that stuff. That's play too, obviously. But for us as adults, it can show up in many ways. Sure, like when we play with our kids, sure, it is play. Choo-choo and all that, Lego and stepping on Lego. Parents know this. But there, you know, creativity. And this is one of the things I talk about a lot. And I've just released the Creative Alchemist is what I'm calling what I do and who I am, because that's someone that you can be. I share with you how to become a creative alchemist, you know, innovating and turning things from the ordinary to the extraordinary. And creativity is just so, it's not just artists. I probably talked about that in that episode. Creativity is, part of creativity is play and exploration and innovation and, you know, going little adventures in your mind, in your soul, in your spirit, and trying new things out. And you can invite play into your day in so many ways. And it doesn't involve having to open the tickle trunk from the kids when they were like toddlers. Play at work is important. I remember, I don't know, it was back in the 90s. I think there's some places that still have it, probably like Google. But I remember all those tech firms like in Silicon Valley, they had, it was like even the Simpsons used to make fun of it. Like they have the foosball and they have the arcade games and they have the table tennis and all that kind of stuff, right? And there are places for people to nap, which I thought was awesome, by the way. And I think it is still cool, because part of play, yes, you can play the games, or go for a walk or take a nap, because it's a way to disrupt your normal way of seeing things. It's like, you know, when you have showers and you have those shower thoughts, or when you go for a walk, at least for me, walks just unlock all sorts of cool things and ideas, always, because I'm not focused on anything in particular. I'm being present and my mind is just having time to, you know, just to roam. And so when you play it, like if you're playing table tennis, if you're playing Pac-Man, if whatever it is, your mind is now off of the problem that you might be trying to solve. And it's in a different area and realm, but it's also subconsciously you're synthesizing things. Like it's working on the problem. Your brain works on problems. It loves to work on problems when you're not thinking about them. But often when you think about them too much, it halts it, it blocks it. And so play is a way to step away from that, the overthinking and the over and just forcing, and allows us to just be, to roam free. And so that's why those things were really cool. I know people made fun of them, but there is something to be said about play, especially at work. And, you know, when it comes to play, I mean, the reasons why play is important, because it helps with the problem solving. It helps, let's say, you know, when you're visualizing things, that's a way of play. When you brainstorm together, like that helps with teamwork and trust and building confidence. When you play, you're coming from curiosity. Like, what if? What if we did this? What if we did that? That's where innovation requires creativity, just like an artist requires creativity or tapping into source energy. You bring something from beyond, in a way, into this space when you tap into that creative force, that creative energy. And there's experimentation. So much of what we experience and know, everything from the dishes that we create to inventions to novel approaches to things, all of this comes from innovation, which comes from creativity, which comes from the mindset of being open to seeing things in different ways. Does that make sense? And so play is really a mindset. It's how you come to things. You know, when you have play at work, just think, if you were able to roam around, have a little recess, if you will, at work, you'd probably be less stressed, less fatigued. You'd have, you know, you'd spark fresh ideas. You'd be, you know, less grumpy. And you'd be willing to try new things. Just like the chef allowed us, gave us the space to try new things, it sort of unlocked a level for us. And we can do that. If you're a leader, I mean, it depends what kind of industry. If you're working on a factory floor, but even then, there might be faster ways of doing things. There might be different approaches. But if you're a leader, and I mean leader like, not only in work, but it could be your family, leading in a social situation, leading amongst friends, whatever it is. We're all leaders, even if we're just leading ourselves. Are you giving space to allow others to create? There's a time and place, of course. But great leaders, if you talk to the people that work for great leaders, they'll all say at some point that she or he or they let us play around a little experiment. They let us, you know, play the what if game instead of it being very directive and draconian. I guess it depends on what industry you're in. But I want to share with you some ways that you can invite play in just general. And again, I'm just going to be reading from this document that I created. So again, if you want to get this, Ignite Your Inner Innovator. It's like jam-packed with stuff, I'm telling you. It took me a long time to create this, but I'm so happy to do it because it's something that I just know is going to help you, anyone else who wants to open up their creativity just in non-artistic ways. It can be used for artists, but I feel so strongly. It's such a great guide. It's free. Please check it out. You know, one thing I talk about in this, and I probably said is, and I'm reading directly, is your brain needs a break from that grown-up stuff to work its magic. Play is like a mental vacation, letting your mind loosen up and wander. It's like shaking up a snow globe, and all those cool ideas hidden inside get a chance to swirl around and maybe crash together into something brilliant. So, which is cool. I mean, I wrote that. That's cool. Or was that AI? I don't think. This is good. Oh my gosh. So, some ways that you can look at play, and I'm just reading, there's embrace the curious child within. And so with that is coming at things with a sense of wonder, you know, asking how and why. Just think of a three-year-old. Why can drive you nuts? But if you approach a problem like, why is this? Why is that? Something can come up. if you look at things with no preconceived notions, like a child looks at something like who they've never experienced before, how would that look? Also getting lost in the present. Not thinking about what if I this screws up and all that. Yeah, but just staying in the sandbox and playing there. And then also creating for the joy of it. You can see a kid drawing something. They're not thinking about, is this going to win an award? Or is this going to get me into art school? They're just creating for the joy of it. And sometimes we miss that. We forget that. Another way to explore or invite play into your day is letting go of perfectionism. Oh, who's anyone else? Me? Hello? See missteps as opportunities. Oh, I screwed up. Okay, as much as my ego wants to beat me up over this, what did I learn? Now this is a way not to do this. So how can this take me in a different direction? Practicing self-compassion and seeing this as a work in progress. Look at all the inventions that we take for granted now. How many times they didn't work, right? That whole famous Thomas Edison 10,000 tries, etc. So it's just, but we look at ourselves in the same way with that self-compassion. Like, okay, that didn't work out. And instead of berating ourselves, we just say, this is part of the process. Speaking of process, focusing on the process and not in the outcome. We talk about that in so many ways, whether you're building a business or, you're trying for a family, you're trying for another, whatever it is, you trust the process and let the outcome work itself out. Because if we're just coming from the place of the outcome primarily, we lose the magic and the glow of the process. And also celebrating wins, even if they're little ones. I did that just yesterday, as I released all this stuff with The Creative Alchemist. I had to take a few minutes, go, my God, Paul, you worked so hard for this. You worked so hard, months and months. And also shutting up about it, keeping a lid on it, because I can be a blabbermouth. And I really celebrated that for myself. So, and that's something I don't normally do. And I too am learning this. Finding play in everyday activity. So it could be changing up your routine, changing up, what you order at a restaurant. It could be changing up the route you take to and from work or school or whatever it is. You can gamify routine tasks, right? Kids do this all the time, right? When we want them to clean the room, we sing a song. We's like, okay, if you can get it under 20 seconds, oh, you can't do it under 20 seconds. And they do it. Like, so we can do that for ourselves. Saying yes to more playing with your kids and pets. I do that. I played so much with my kids, even though I didn't feel like it a lot of times, but I knew it was good for me. Cutting down on screen time, that's important, and using the time to be bored. It's okay to be bored. We're so afraid of being bored, but that's where a lot of creative stuff happens. And play. And lastly, connecting and collaborating. And this is where, getting out there. If you want to geek out or nerd out on D&D or, playing Magic the Gathering, whatever it is that you enjoy, go out there and meet other people who are doing that. Or, go to networking or go to take a class or workshop. You don't know anyone yet. And again, it's like, you're going to meet people who think differently than you, who have different opinions, maybe different beliefs. And that's okay. We're in this cancel culture where anyone that's any whisper of anything different than you, we cut them off. And listen, I believe in accountability. I don't believe in cancel culture. Some people need to be held accountable. But if someone has a different way of seeing things, that can be okay. That's how you can learn and grow. Do I want to argue with people online all day? No, that's different. Different. So these are ways that you can invite play into your day. And there's even more. And that's like one half a page of this whole 15 page thing if you want to grab. And anytime that I get stuck, even like to get all meta, like even when I'm doing this podcast, or even when I'm creating something for my business, or even when I'm thinking about, what we're doing as a family in the evenings or whatever, if I get stuck in a rut, I'm like, okay, how can I make it a little bit more fun? How can I invite a different way of looking at things? How can I invite exploration? Ask the what ifs, ask the how, see things as, like, I tried to, if I can remember, I invoke these because then possibilities open up. And that's all it's about, is possibilities. You're sparking new thoughts and new ways of possibly doing something different. And when you go do these different things, you get different results. Sometimes not what you expect, but at least you're on the path. You're out there. When we step away from play and we get over serious and too caught in our just the same way, it rubs off. We feel more stressed. We feel disconnected to what we do or to who we're with. There's a tedium, an apathy. And you want to step away from that. That's low grade thinking and feeling. So I invite, all of this to say, I'm going to wrap this up. It's a short one. Where can you find more play? Where can you find more just creativity in general? It's there. You think, well, my job and no, there's creativity everywhere. You are a creative source. You're a creative alchemist. You can turn and transmute things into something greater and more glorious and magnificent. It's just making the decision to do so. So I invite you to do it. Bring play into your day. And if you're stuck and you don't know how, and you can watch this again, or you can grab the guide. Again, it's in the show notes. I'll shut up about it now. but please do. And when you get the guide, you will get on the email list. And I'm gonna ramp up so many cool things on that. It's so exciting. All right. I appreciate you being here. Thank you so much. Thank you if you've been watching. I don't expect anyone to have watched all 30 episodes. But if you've been around for the ride so far, thank you. It means a lot. Please share, like, subscribe, review, all the good stuff. It really helps to open things up. And my mandate here is just to share, to give, to be of service, and to have fun. This is about fun too. If this was not fun for me to do, I'd have packed this in a long time ago. So, thanks again. Kitchen's closed. No scram.